The Spartan Marathon was an annual torture run created by Rake to inaugurate each new season. It was held the first day of August practice, always at noon, for maximum heat. Every varsity hopeful reported to the track in gym shorts and running shoes, and when Rake blew the whistle, the laps began. The format was simple. You ran until you dropped. 12 laps were the minimum. Any player unable to complete 12 laps would get the chance to repeat the marathon the next day. And if he fell twice, then he was unfit to become a Messina Spartan. Any high school player who could not run 3 miles had no business putting on the pads. The assistant coaches sat in the air-conditioned press box and counted laps. Rake prowled from one end zone to the other, watching the runners, barking if necessary, disqualifying those who moved too slow. Speed was not an issue, unless a player's pace became a walk, at which point Rake would pull him off the track. Once a player quit or passed out or was otherwise disqualified, he was forced to sit at midfield and bake under the sun until there was no one left standing. There were very few rules, one of which called for automatic ejection if a runner vomited on the track. Vomiting was allowed, and there was plenty of it, but once it was completed, somewhere off the track, the sick player was expected to rejoin the run. Of Rake's vast repertoire of harsh conditioning methods, the marathon was by far the most dreaded. Over the years, it had led some young men in Messina to pursue other sports or to leave athletics altogether. Mention it to a player around town in July and he suddenly had a thick knot in his stomach and a dry mouth. By early August, most players were running at least 5 miles a day in anticipation. Because of the marathon, every Spartan reported in superb condition. It was not unusual for a hefty lineman to lose 20 or 30 pounds over the summer. Not for his girlfriend and not for his physique. The weight was shed to survive the Spartan marathon. Once it was over, the eating could start again, though weight was difficult to gain when you spent 3 hours a day on the practice field. Coach Rake didn't like big linemen anyway. He preferred the nasty types, like Silo Mooney. Neely's senior year, he completed 31 laps, almost 8 miles, and when he fell onto the grass with the dry heaves, he could hear Rake cursing him from across the field. Paul ran 9.5 miles that year, 38 laps, and won the race. Every Spartan remembered two numbers, the one on his jersey and the number of laps he finished in the Spartan Marathon. After the knee injury had abruptly reduced him to the status of being just another student at Tech, Neely was in a bar when a co-ed from Messina spotted him. "Heard the news from home," she said. "What news?" Neely asked, not the least bit interested in news from his hometown. "Got a new record in the Spartan Marathon," she said. "Oh, really?" "Yep. 83 laps. Neely repeated what she said, did the math, then said, "That's almost 21 miles. "Yep. Who did it?" "Some kid named Jaeger." Only in Messina would the gossip include the latest stats from the August workouts. Randy Jaeger was now climbing the bleachers, wearing his green game jersey with the number 5 in white, with silver trim, tucked tightly into his jeans. He was small, very thin at the waist, no doubt a wide receiver with quick feet and an impressive time in the 40. He first recognized Paul, and as he drew closer, he saw Neely. He stopped 3 rows down and said, "Neely Crenshaw." "That's me," Neely said. They shook hands. Paul knew Jaeger well because, as was established quickly in the conversation, Randy's family owned a shopping center north of town, and, like everybody else in Messina, they banked with Paul. "Any word on Rake?" Jaeger asked, settling onto the road behind them and leaning forward. "Not much. He's still hanging on," Paul said gravely. "When'd you finish?" Neely asked. 93. "And they fired him in 92, my senior year. I was one of the captains." There was a heavy pause as the story of Rake's termination came and went without comment. Neely had been drifting through Western Canada in a post-college funk that lasted almost 5 years, and he had missed the drama. Over time, he'd heard some of the details, though he had tried to convince himself he didn't care what happened to Eddie Rake. You ran the 83 laps, right? Neely asked. Yep, in 1990, when I was a sophomore. Still the record? Yep. You? 31, my senior year. 83 laps is hard to believe. I got lucky. It was cloudy and cool. How about the guy who came in second? 45, I think. Doesn't sound like luck to me. Did you play in college? No, I weighed 130 with pads on. He was All-State for 2 years, Paul said, and still holds the record for return yardage. His mama just couldn't fatten him up. I got a question, Neely said. I ran 31 laps and collapsed in pain. Then Rake cussed me like a dog. What exactly did he say to you when you finished with 83? Paul grunted and grinned because he'd heard the story. Jaeger shook his head and smiled. Typical Rake, he said. When I finished, he walked by me and said, in a loud voice, I thought you could do 100. Of course, this was for the benefit of the other players. Later in the locker room, he said, very quietly, that it was a gutsy performance. Two of the joggers left the track and walked up a few rows, where they sat by themselves and stared at the field. They were in their early 50s, tanned and fit with expensive running shoes. The guy on the right is Blanchard Teague, Paul said, anxious to prove he knew everyone, our optometrist. On the left is John Couch, a lawyer. They played in the late 60s, during the streak. So they never lost a game, Jaeger said. That's right. In fact, the 68 team was never scored on. 12 games, 12 shutouts. Those two guys were there. Awesome, Jaeger said, truly in awe. That was before we were born, Paul said.